Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome back to a very new episode of Back to Reality. Well, this is Asma. Once more, I have the honor to be your host. And then again, we have two very dear guests, Sister Zainab and Sister Nasreen. Well, as the ritual of this program goes, I would like you to introduce yourself pretty briefly.
Assalamu alaikum. I am Zainab Askari and I have studied master's in linguistics. I have been studying Hausa for the past 10 years and also teaching and writing.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm Nasreen and right now I'm a principal of a school. I have studied English literature, and after that I went to Hausa to study Islamic, science, and then after that I went back to school and teaching again.
Well, the world is full of problems and issues, and as modernity comes in the middle, there are many question marks. And there are many people who do believe that religion stops at a time. There are many people who accuse religion for not being responsible or for not being able to respond to the questions of the time. But we know the truth is totally different. Now I would like you to start it this way, that do you believe religion could change to fit modernity or could change to fit the modern world and its concerns?
Religion usually seen as traditional.
Mm-hmm.
But has always
something belonging to the ancient old
right,
ages.
Right. But has always had lessons that are timeless.
Mm-hmm.
They don't change with time. Let's talk about justice, for example. Justice, what was taught then or what was important then is important now and will be important in terms of justice in the modern times as well.
Yeah.
So, yes, we have some of the modern things today. Religion actually adapts, I guess, sometimes subtle, sometimes very drastic to these modernization things. Let me give you example, for example, and I think that's important too at some places if done in balance. For example, let's take the example of tech. Today we have sermons of or lecturers of Islamic lecturers or something that is available online. So using tech, using one of the tools of modernization for those timeless lessons, there should not be some doubt about it. So even if there are modern issues, it's not like religion was not responsible, religion was not answerable. It is us who was not able to deduce that,
yeah.
That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
says. To make a compatibility between
so much in
modernization Quran. and within the religion.
Like, yeah,
the realm
for example,
of religion.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Why don't you think? Why don't you ponder? Had I pondered much, had I thought much, maybe I would have able to deduce that Islam mm-hmm. has answers for all things. Even, I don't know, maybe 10 years later from now, some modernization will come up with something. But I would say that Islam does not have an answer. It's me who has not pondered much to deduce that answer.
Okay, Sister Nasreen,
yeah.
Since I know that when you introduced yourself, you're working in a school and then you have many students,
mm-hmm.
which means you have many daughters.
Exactly.
So these daughters have got a lot of questions.
Yes.
And their question has got a lot to do with the modern world. So mm-hmm. when they come to you and if they ask you about, for example, in science, this happens, but it has not been mentioned in religion. How would you justify her that she can find the answer to her questions in religion?
First of all, let me tell you something which is very important, and that is religion is timeless.
Yeah.
There's no time for it. It doesn't have any expiry date. Say, mm-hmm. okay, it's over, finished, let's go. No, no, it's with us.
But the this is something that we believe in. There are many people in the world who do not believe in this. They do believe that religion, we attribute timelessness to religion and its rules and instructions. This is what they claim. If we want to justify these people, how would we just help them? I mean, like, are there any books to prove that, yes, religion is timeless?
Exactly. You know what? Let me tell you something. Actually, engagement with modernity is something that is essential.
Yeah, it's a part of our life.
And Islam also itself, the religion itself, encourages us Or let me say that it encourages something like we call it as ijtihad, which is called rational reasoning. Yeah. I think this is the better, you know, definition for it, maybe. Ijtihad or rational reasoning to address new challenges while actually it's preserving the principles.
Yeah.
So that is a very important thing. We have lots of scholars here now, in, you know, in just here in my own country. I know lots of, you know.
So your questions are not going to remain unanswered because there are scholars always out there for you to get your answers from the questions that you have.
Let me tell you. Wait.
Okay. Since this
I want to give you an example. Wait.
For the example, let's go for a break and then we'll come back to hear the example.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
So, we were talking about the fact that many people say that you guys who believe in religion and timelessness of religion, you attribute this timelessness to its rules. Mm-hmm. But then you said there is this rational reasoning and there are scholars out there that could help you figure out your questions. And then you were about to give an example. By the way, you're listening to Back to Reality. Sister Zainab and Sister Nasrin are in here and I'm enjoying the discussion with them.
Example, the first one, which is one of the, you know, vivid. I mean, it's so, you know, transparent enough. And we
conspicuous.
Have
conspicuous.
Yeah. One of them is like this. Medical ethics or digital finance. Do you think about this too? Of course, both of them require scholarly insight.
Bio even ethics.
Exactly.
This is very interesting.
Like, for example, we have IVF or
exactly
the digital currencies to be mentioned. As Sister mentioned, I think like it's not like, okay, there was a digital currency thing that came a couple of years ago, and there's this IVF thing that came and inheritance through these things, you know, surrogacy and all. I think we have literally the jurists have worked very, very hard. We have so many scholarly articles there that give Quranic references, that give references from the Ahadith, and also the when we have Islamic rulings and Islamic commandments, they are not confined to the Quran and Ahadith. There's another source that is intellect. So what about this ruling? There were not these bikes some hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
So doesn't Islam have the answer? Definitely Islam has the answer.
To sum it up, I would put it this way, that religion has got this flexibility that could fit itself to different times and to different conditions.
It can.
Yeah.
So can I add something about...
Surely.
Imam Khomeini said something which I like it so much, you know. He says, we must be equipped with modern science, but remain anchored in faith. Yeah. So we can say that Islam... Or, you know, our religion is not against, you know, modernity. You can have a...
Or improvement or development.
Exactly. It's a part of your life. You need to have a, you know, a comfortable life. You need to have those stuffs, those tools, everything.
Yeah.
You need the modernism. Modernism is a part of our life. I cannot live outside and using a horse instead of car.
I cannot actually exclude myself from the modern world.
You know, unfortunately, there are people, unfortunately, I don't say that this is right, this is terribly wrong, that we have people nowadays, and they say, no, Islam is against modernism, and I'm not
it's
using
not
car
at Islam is
all.
Basically, I think
do you believe in this?
No, I think religion is, adapting itself towards a technology, like I said, using of the videos, sermons in the beginning of the lecture. So adapting itself to different modernization techniques or texts or tools is important at the same time. But, adapting to modernization too much can dilute authenticity.
So unfortunately, this is the finalement of today's episode, but then very briefly, we're going to draw some attention to the main features of our scholars, like the adaptability and the flexibility and the knowledge, are the main things that we have to talk about. We have to trust them. See, religion has always asked us to go back to the scholars for every single questions mm-hmm. you have. Right now that we do not have the direct access to Imam Mahdi, ajalallah farajah, so we have to ask our questions from the scholars whom we trust.
The jurists.
Yeah. So their knowledge does not come from their own interpretations.
Right.
They go through too much of academic years
that
of studying.
That reach a level of ijtihad, as sister already mentioned.
Yeah, please
earlier.
Explain on that so that it clarifies for those people who are just listening to
for
us.
For example, if you're going for one PhD in your life, it takes your whole life,
exactly,
whole time.
Yeah.
To reach a level of ijtihad takes some kind of some 60 PhDs like that. So a level of ijtihad is a very, very high level of struggle in the field of religion.
And they're not studying ancient stories or ancient stuff. No, they are getting adapted with the new concerns and stuff that are related to the new world.
Yeah, they are addressing new ethical challenges like AI. They are addressing climate changes. They are addressing issues like biotech.
Digital currency that you already mentioned previously.
And communication and like in the digital platforms today that we have.
So our scholars are not detached scholars from the real world. They are living in the real world, knowing about the concerns of modernization, of what are the concerns that a modern
Exactly. They are with us. We are in the same century together.
Mm-hmm. And they by the way, they put themselves, I mean, the soul, the ego aside. Because when you are about to give rules to people, you have to put yourself, your own interpretation, your emotional self aside.
Yeah, they have a responsibility, you know, toward people. Let me tell you something about my husband. Actually, my husband works in a, you know, place which is, you know, lots of scholars are there. And then sometimes they answer the questions. Some people, you know, send emails. Some people send, you know, messages. And then
from different parts of the world,
exactly,
by the way.
From different parts of the world, they, you know, ask this scholar their question. And when you just listen to their question and their stories, you get shocked. It's totally complicated. And then when they answer it perfectly and intelligently, you might just say, oh my goodness, how they know it. So it seems that they have a very, very, you know,
high level of
knowledge. They have a source, and then they have studied for decades, so that's why they know how to solve this problem. It's a puzzle, which is terrible, but they help you to, you know, continue your life. For example, once it was about you know, the question was something about children, I don't remember exactly. Child was born, and then they didn't know who was the mother. And then there was a, you know,
a very complicated Indian drama.
It was perfect when you were just listening to the answer.
Yeah.
And then I was shocked, truly shocked at that time. And I asked my husband, how come? How he could answer this question perfectly and wisely. So, you know, you see how much they can help us at this time. So we can say that Allah, God, the one who has created me, he never left me alone. He never leaves me alone.
That's why Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam have always clarified it for us that whenever we have any problem, we have to go and seek refuge to the scholars of our religion, to the people that we trust the most, because they have this knowledge and shrewdness of adaptability and flexibility to get up to date with the concerns of the time and of the age. Yes, religion may put on a modernized cloak or dress up like with modernity, but the essence is still the same essence that Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam have taught us. That is the main ingredient of the true religion that we might actually go for different questions related to that. This was all. Thank you, Sister Nasreen, and thank you, Sister Zainab. This was all for today. I hope you have enjoyed that. Until another episode, wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Ya Allah, ya Rabb al-alamin, ya Rahman, ya Rahim, ya Rabbi, let the ummah rise again. Ya Allah, ya Rabb al-alamin, يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي
التي أمارسك لتصيد ليلتك once again.